As some Ukrainians in Sumy took a one-way bus ride to safety in the dark, others cried from beneath rubble as rescuers dug them out. By morning, people woke up with mobile phones in hand to take video of smoldering apartment buildings outside their windows. The Ukrainian deputy prime minister says the hope is that beginning at 9 a.m. local time on Wednesday, a ceasefire in places such as the Kyiv, Kharkiv, and Sumy regions would hold for 12 hours so people could escape the fighting along humanitarian corridors both Ukraine and Russia have agreed to.
Residents are asking me to make sure the Russian Federation fulfills its promises and people can leave the places they've been hiding from the fire and the shelling that is killing them.
The spokesman with the Russian Ministry of Defense didn't address that during a briefing. Instead, he spoke about a trove of Ukrainian military documents seized during a special operation. He accused the Ukrainian military, NATO, and the U.S. of plotting an attack in the Donbas region in the east.
The military operations by the Russian forces prevented the assault of the Ukrainian military on Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republic in March. It's unclear how deeply the United States and NATO were involved, those who are so worried about peace in Ukraine.
New allegations of war crimes have emerged. Amnesty International says as people lined up to get bread in a public square in Chernihiv last week, it was hit by multiple bombs. Three people were killed. Amnesty says its investigation shows at least eight so-called dumb bombs rained down on the square, and it's likely a Russian airstrike. The International Criminal Court is now investigating war crimes in Ukraine. Natasha Ganim, Al Jazeera.
Let's go to Natasha Butler, who's in the western city of Lviv. She's there for us live now. Natasha, talk us through, firstly, the latest on efforts to evacuate civilians from the hardest hit towns and cities. How's that going?
Well, we have a bit more information now because there was a lot of conflicting information about the implementation of these humanitarian corridors a bit earlier. What we do know is that Ukraine has agreed with Russia to evacuate people from at least five towns and cities across Ukraine, including areas around Kyiv and also the northeastern town of Sumy. Now, what we do know is that in terms of Sumy, people have been leaving today. The ceasefire there seems to be holding between Ukrainian and Russian troops, and people are being bussed out. This is the second day that people have been able to evacuate this city. There are about a quarter of a million people in the city. 5,000 of them left on Tuesday. Many more will leave today. And some of the stories of people who are coming out are just heartbreaking. People having to leave behind relatives who can't move and aren't mobile enough to go. Other people saying that they were effectively running out of food, out of water, out of medicine, huddled in dark basements whilst shelling was continuing through the night. Very terrifying scenes, but of course for those people, huge relief that they are now able to leave. They're going, we understand, to an area in south of Sumy, and then they will be moved on elsewhere as they wish. But one of the concerns of Ukrainian authorities is that they say that in previous days, Russia has offered to put ceasefires in place to allow people to evacuate various cities along these humanitarian corridors. But in fact, fighting has continued. Ukrainian officials blaming Russians for not holding on to those ceasefires or offering people safe passage, but to Russia, to Belarus, which for Ukrainian officials is absolutely unacceptable. They have called that genocidal, the idea that Ukrainian people would want to flee to Russia when Russia has invaded their country.
And Natasha, I understand that there's some concern now being raised around the safety of the Chernobyl nuclear plant, which was taken over by Russia about 2 weeks ago. What more can you tell us about that?
Yes, Chernobyl, the now defunct nuclear plant that is near the Belarusian border. There are news reports coming out around that, and I just want to read you some of them. The Ukraine's basically saying that Russia has effectively disconnected Chernobyl from the grid. The Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, put out a video, and he's been tweeting about that, saying that the lack of power at Chernobyl is now going to prevent the cooling of spent nuclear fuel. That could mean a radioactive risk. Also, Ukraine's state power agency, says Zelensky, says that ongoing fighting in the area is making it absolutely impossible to carry out repairs and restore power to Chernobyl. We know also that earlier today, nuclear monitors at the IAEA said that they had lost contact with some of the Ukrainian staff at Chernobyl, that some of the staff there had already been working extremely long hours around the clock without rests, without proper breaks. And there was a lot of concern for them because in terms of safety and security, that's obviously not good. Now they are saying they've lost contact with some of those staff. It is a huge concern. You know, 1986, Chernobyl was the scene of the world's, you know, at that time, world's worst nuclear disaster. Nobody wants to see a repeat of any radioactive risk. So, as I said, some of that information just coming out now will clarify more when we get more in the day.
OK, thank you for that. Natasha Butler there for us in Lviv, in the west of the country. We can now go to the capital city, Kiev. We can speak to our correspondent, Steph Vassen, who's there now. I believe you're in a bus shelter, a bomb shelter. Just talk us through the situation where you are.
No, I'm actually in a subway station. And if you go down from Kiev, in all these subway stations, there's a whole world. Life has gone underground, basically. So many people are now living here. For the last 2 weeks, they brought their children, their whole families are here. They brought their mattresses, their blankets, they're sleeping here. It's, of course, at night very cold. It's still winter here. They even have like a cinema for children, playing children's films. And there's also a clown who is entertaining the children here right now. She just told me she normally works with cancer patients in a children's hospital, but they all have been evacuated to Poland. So now she's a grandmother herself. She came down here every day to entertain the children because, of course, being here for 2 weeks already, they have nothing to do. They're in fear because they're really worried about what's going to happen next. They think they're safe here from the Russian bombs and missiles, but of course, it's just a very relative safety. And there's also a train. So you can see this is a subway train. People were sleeping in that train also for the last couple of days. They've just been told to exit that train because the train is going to move. They have to evacuate other people. So people took all their stuff out, their blankets, and now they are waiting here, sitting here like this old woman. She was sleeping in the train for the last couple of days. She's exhausted. People are really exhausted. They're stressed out, and they're really in fear.
Absolutely incredible what we're seeing where you are. 2 weeks stuck underground like that, families with children. And talk us through what we know about the approach of Russian troops towards Kiev, because we know Kiev is strategically incredibly important to Putin, President Putin, to win over.
Absolutely. The people here are very much aware that this is the main price for Putin for the war that he's fighting here in Ukraine. And there is fighting going on the outskirts of Kiev, and it's increasingly heavy. In the northwest, there's been fighting for the last couple of days. In Irpin, there's a very strategic bridge. If that bridge falls into the hands of Russian forces, the next stop will be Kiev. And then in the northeast, this morning, we heard very heavy artillery fire in that area as well. So basically, what you can see is that Russian forces are really closing in from both sides, trying to encircle the city. And there's a lot of worry that even though maybe this advance onto the capital has been stalled for nearly a week, that it's picking up and there could be a really major assault on Kiev in the next coming days. So above ground, there's complete silence, emptiness. People are really literally holding their breath for what's coming next. And here underground, people are really hoping that they're going to be surviving what's going to happen to them.
Okay, many thanks for your reporting. Step Vassan speaking to us there from underground at a train station where many of the people are sheltering in Ukraine. Russia's foreign ministry spokeswoman says Moscow is not trying to overthrow Ukraine's government, but she's indicated some progress had been made in negotiations.
There are also negotiations with the Ukrainian side to try and avoid bloodshed. The third round of these talks have finished. Political and humanitarian issues were discussed. The humanitarian corridor was discussed. About 2 million people have now addressed Russia with a request for protection, and 140,000 people have gone into Russia.
Dorsa Jabari has more from Moscow.
According to the spokesperson for Russia's foreign ministry, they now have evidence which they've found from various locations in Ukraine that shows that their Ukrainian government was working on a biological program with the help of the United States. And this is something that is very much a concern for the Russian government, and they want the United States to answer. But the spokeswoman also reiterated that Russian forces are not looking to overthrow the government in Kiev, and they're not looking to occupy Ukrainian land, and that their mission is very much one to try and get rid of the threat that is perceived here by the Ukrainian elements that are in that country. The interesting thing was that she didn't mention anything about the recent sanctions that have been placed on Russia, which is now the number one country in the world with the most sanctions against it. As of yesterday, there is now over nearly 6,000 sanctions against the Russian government and different entities, overtaking Iran, which has just over 3,600 sanctions against it.